So like on Seinfeld, George is melancholic, Kramer is sanguine, and Jerry is phlegmatic, and Elaine is choleric, right?
Mm.
So,
oh, yeah.
You know, and just like all of those humors make up, you know, like the forces in every individual body. So they play off of each other. It's archetypes.
Oh, very true. It's just like in Deuteronomy.
Deuteronomy.
when Jesus, you know, takes out by miracle that guy's Deutomer. Holy cow. Yes, it is.
I mean,
it's real hot.
I don't want to be talk about the weather guy, but man, it kills me because I can't like open a window or put a fan on or anything. So This might actually be our Sweat Lodge cast.
Oh, really?
We're going on a spirit journey, Chris.
I remember what happened last time.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, what episode is it?
Episode 23, Those Damn Ross Kids.
Yeah. You know that...
Cole.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm 23.
Yes, you are.
And this is our first spring cast. Like, where we're not going to be... Where we're not in the depths of seasonal affective disorder.
Very true. It's like 80... It's 80 degrees outside.
Yeah, it's nice. And it's like 90 degrees in here. So do you have any stories for me?
Stories?
Yeah. Tell me a story.
Not really.
Okay.
Not really at all. I mean, I tried to look for stuff and it just didn't happen for me.
Oh, that's too bad. I was on a boat today.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I rode on a boat.
Nice.
For work. I was going up and down the river.
I always wanted to ride on a submarine.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did have you ever heard the euphemism, I'm taking her to the submarine races?
No.
No? That's a euphemism for sex.
Really?
Yeah, because, I mean, traditionally the vagina has been considered nautical by nature. Nautical by nature. And the penis in the nautical context would be the submarine. You're going to go as fast as you can, and then you're going to leave your depth charge. And yeah, it was like in the 50s, like you could hear it being said on Happy Days. I'm going to take her to the submarine races.
It sounds like a lot like today. It sounds like a lot like you made this up and then thought it through.
No, man. Go. go under Urban Dictionary, I assure you.
Because every time I tried to chime in with a response or some sort of like some sort of contention to your argument, you beat me to it with a really good point. So I guess I have to tend to believe you.
Okay, well, if you don't have a story, I'll tell you a story.
Yeah.
So I don't want to ask that question because it's too personal, but you know.
Oh no, Cole! Please ask.
Oh well, how early do you think is too early to drink?
I don't know. Maybe like before a shower.
Before I get out of bed.
Yeah.
Yeah. My nightstand is a mini fridge. No.
Whatever you didn't finish when you passed out the night before.
I just wring my shirt out. What's the earliest, like age-wise, that you think it's okay for a person to have their first alcohol experience?
I don't know, man. I can't really. I could try. But there's too many variables because every kid is different.
Yeah.
So
and there's contacts and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I would say like, I don't know, maybe like 16. I would say 16 by rule. So like up until 16, you can't drink. When you turn 16, you need a parent's note.
Yeah. No, it's about context. A parent's note or just like somebody to babysit you when you do it. Right. Well, can I counter that? How does two sound? No, not 22, two. A 2-year-old Applebee's patron in Detroit. Well, Chrissy got some more than he bargained for after his parents ordered him some apple juice. The little boy took a few sips of his drink and, according to his mother, we took it from him, and he kind of laid his head on the table. He dozed off a little bit and woke up and got real happy. Boy. Before leaving, they examined the drink and found not apple juice, Chris, but alcoholic margarita mix. The amount of alcohol in there would have killed the toddler if he drank the whole thing, the doctors really? Say. Yeah, which is not funny, but...
but it is.
A fucked up 2-year-old?
a messed up 2-year-old?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just, he dozed off for a little bit and he woke up and got real happy. That's the mother's words. The manager didn't know how to react to the situation, had no idea how it happens. And obviously we wouldn't be laughing about it if the child didn't survive. So the kid's okay. He's got the shakes now, but he's working through that.
Nice.
Yeah.
I don't know how that happens.
Man, I just...
It was probably funny at the time.
You ever seen the movie Waiting where they do stuff to the people's food?
No.
Except this time they poison kids. it's Waiting 2, the kid poisoners.
Dude, kids are hard to take care of.
Well, you would know.
Yeah.
Because you're a man child, but...
And it's hard enough in the United States, but I get the impression that it might be harder in China.
Okay.
Because in Beijing, China, a couple is getting divorced, like they do. But just like in the United States, there's a custody battle. Instead of fighting to win the custody of their 4-year-old son, they're fighting to lose it.
You take him. No, you take him.
The mother of this 4-year-old little boy claimed that she has no ability to raise the child and asked the court to award the custody to the husband. The dad says, man, he's just a downer. Said it's bad for my job, you know, having a kid around. It'd be better for him to stay with his mom. So the resolution in Chinese courts was, which I think is like, I don't know, it's pretty cool, is to put the whole thing to an end with an auction. The highest bidder can get rid of the child.
Wait a minute. So people aren't bidding on the kid. It's who's paying who?
The mom and the dad are having an auction in the sense that they can bid higher and higher and higher with the money from the winner going to the loser to raise the child. They're not the first ones who've done this. In 2000, a divorce case in the Xinjiang province.
Okay.
Where both sides refused to take their 9-year-old daughter. Both swore that they would pay child support. The judge was left with no choice but to set up and settle the issue with an auction. The mother in this case outbid the father with a final price of 250,000 yuan, I think it is.
Yeah.
Or 38,000 US dollars.
Well, I mean, what? That's like half of what a boy would get. Girls are not worth anything.
That's awful. What? No, they're bidding to get rid of them.
Yeah, I know.
So a girl should be like less.
Oh, a girl should like. I should have to pay you more. Okay.
Yeah, more.
Wow. Right. So it's like golf. It's like golf. Like I'll give you a fiver to take the kid.
Just take this little cunt.
Yeah. This little Chinese girl.
Look at her. She already looks like you.
That's horrible.
It's not going to be very long, and she's going to be acting like you.
There
60,000.
There are so few instances where a value is directly assigned to a human life.
Very true.
And it's just funny because like it happens, you know, in insurance, and it happens. Do you know how much the components of the human body are worth, Chris?
You've said this before, like $4.
It's like $4.80. The last time I read that article in like 2006. But just the component hydrogen and calcium and oxygen inside the body, if you broke it down to an elemental form and tried to sell it on any kind of, you know, market, it'd be $4.80. And there's something, you know, it's kind of like that scene in Breaking Bad, you know, just like what percentage of the body is made up of whatever, what configuration of these chemicals. Chris, what I'm saying is that we could solve a lot of problems if we just reduced our pore to a viscous liquid that could be used to, you know, fertilize crops and power our flying cars.
Very true. But I think that human life has two values.
Okay.
One, $4.80. And the other, if you move to Florida, is way higher.
Okay.
They have 10 bills going through their state legislature, which is the third most golden branch of our government system.
Wait a minute. Florida has a government?
Yep.
Wow. Good.
Who do you think counted all those chads?
I assumed it was like a Mad Max situation.
No, not really.
Yeah.
Not really.
I mean, what's that big round thing at Epcot? That's the Thunderdome, right?
Very true. But they have 10 bills going through their state legislature protecting human life because it's so valuable.
Okay.
And because of this, trying to block abortions and stuff like that, the Florida ACLU is inviting women to incorporate their uterus to protect them against government intervention.
Okay.
A website has been launched. Incorporatemyuterus.com.
Basically saying that a corporation has more rights than a human.
Exactly. This is all in response to a Democratic state representative who joked his wife should have her uterus incorporated because if women's wombs were businesses, the Republicans wouldn't try to regulate them.
That is a really good idea.
The Republican House leadership condemned the state representative's language and banned politicians from using the word uterus on the floor.
That is messed up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They did not say anything about the plural form, uterus. Which no one has used because they can't figure out what it is.
Uteri?
I don't know. I think I'm going to go get something at the uteri. I don't know. But
that is I don't mean to get political, but is that how these people are trying to win the arguments now by banning the words that can be used to win the argument?
Very true.
I can kill you, but you cannot use the word murder in my sentencing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's why I'm going to milkshake you.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
Strangely enough, that involves murdering me with a club. But
milkshake is definitely rape. But
that's bringing it back. You're inceptioning that shit. But
in response to this adopted restriction of language, the ACLU says when a corporation has more protections than a woman, the best way to keep lawmakers out of your business is to be your own business.
Brilliant, I have to say.
They got some awesome people working down there that think up awesome catchphrases.
Is that is that an Onion article, Chris?
Negative ghostwriter.
Okay, I just want to make sure. You ask the stupid question first.
Oh, like those damn Ross kids are so funny. They must be because they're reading the best comedy websites on the internet.
Yeah. No, I just, you know, my TV doesn't work well. Is it plugged in, stupid? You know, just it saves a bunch of time. Can I shoot straight with you? Chris, can I shoot straight with you? Only because you're the one who brought up abortion.
Sure.
It's funny because they have a very good point in that a business has more rights than a woman or a person. Mm-hmm. But this whole thing about, you know, the value of life, the idea that these, you know, typically conservatives, but. Yeah, hey. That mentality, these pro-life people, they claim to really, really value life, which I think is I think is good because you're talking about the potential. But the thing is, they tend to vest all of that care and that enthusiasm into things that really can't demonstrate things that can't be evil yet. right? So whether it's somebody who's comatose and they don't want to be, you know, and they don't want them to be euthanized, or whether it's a fetus who hasn't had a chance to get lazy and poor and brown, it's just like this, it's this cipher into which they can generate all their goodwill without actually having to worry about loving something that could possibly be flawed. And that seems like the more difficult thing to do. And that is where a large amount of my, disdain for their position comes from, which is like, it's easy to love something that you like, something that can't do anything. It's an inert object, right?
I'm gonna just shoot for some brevity here.
Okay.
And summarize your comments.
Okay.
Brown people are lazy and poor. That's all I heard. I rearranged the words a little bit.
And besides, I was using their thing because that's what they don't like. Most of the policies, you know, aim towards them. And you know, I'm making statements as my bleeding heart liberal hippie whatever. I don't really care what you call me. But that's how I see it. And that's not funny. And that's not, you know, the kind of thing that we usually talk about. But you said the A word, so I'm gonna shoot straight from the hip. Son.
Hippity dippity is funny. That makes me want to listen to you more.
All my hippity, make up words.
My hippity dippity comments. But Chris, you know, I mean, there's an easy way to get around all of this.
Okay.
And really that is just you know, for guys getting vasectomies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think that the animal rights group PETA is on the right track.
Oh.
They're having themselves a contest.
Okay.
They're calling the contest a twofer. The group is offering up one vasectomy, a reimbursement of up to $500 once the procedure is confirmed, so one lucky man can be reproduction free of charge, just like his pooch or feline pet. PETA contest argues that human overpopulation is crowding out animal life on the planet, while dog and cat overpopulation is creating a euthanasia crisis.
Okay.
Entrants in this contest have to prove that their pet was neutered after March 29th of 2011 this year. The men must also answer the question, which I posed to you, maybe off air,
okay,
maybe in a blog entry. Why should PETA neuter you?
So you have to, it's like an essay contest. Why should I be neutered by PETA?
I mean, yeah, in order to qualify for the essay entry, you have to take the snip and maybe acquire some pet that is snipped.
Okay.
And then you also have to answer the question, how this sterilization will most benefit both humans and animals.
Man, that's funny because you're right in that they're on the right track. It's difficult for me to say that because usually they're so obnoxious that when they're right about something, it's difficult for me to fathom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I think, you know, most problems have to do with overpopulation of some sort, be it a long line at the post office or the impending end of the world. You know, it all has to do with just too many damn people. So I like that.
I think it's clever.
It raises awareness, and it's not outright. You know, they're not like, we're going to come and cut your cock off because we're PETA and something. I don't know. It's hard to demonize them for making sense, I guess.
The freaking, like, the man will attack people's rights and animals' rights for as long as we let him.
The man?
The man, man.
Okay.
In this case, the Wisconsin police. An elderly disabled woman in Wisconsin was ticketed for allowing her dog to walk free without a leash while she drove behind a car. Police said a 70-year-old woman's neighbors called in about her unleashed dog wreaking havoc in Madison, Wisconsin. Police saw the little white dog strolling down the street with a car following close behind. As the officer approached the vehicle, the dog fell back and jumped into the front seat on his owner's lap. The woman was slapped with a $114 fine for being adorable. No. Or permitting a dog to run at large and given a stern warning and I assume a finger wag. Not to repeat the mistake again.
So she was walking her dog.
Well, no.
But driving her dog.
Yeah, because she's disabled and she's old and stuff.
Oh man,
she's just doing old stuff.
That's sad because, you know, like old people can really benefit from having an animal around, right?
Gas is like $4 a gallon.
Hey, dude. That's what the pet is worth to her. I don't know.
I just, you know, just she's just out there. She's out there on her fixed income, investing in her pet's fitness.
Yeah.
And then they give her $114.
That's just.
Come on wrong. Now.
I don't agree with that at all. Let this woman go because she just cares about her dog.
Old people are silly.
They are. They're super silly, but that's why they have to be like protected. Here's my question: why was she allowed to drive? Because that shouldn't happen. That she shouldn't really be allowed to do that. If she's like over 45, she should not be able to drive.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Do you think that she should be allowed to maybe like own a gun?
Several. She would need to because she can't drive, and she has to protect her dogs.
Can I posit an argument?
You can stop making fun of me, but go ahead.
That would not be fun.
Okay.
92-year-old Central Florida woman fired a semi-automatic pistol 4 times at her 53-year-old neighbor's house after he refused to give her a little smooch.
Fired at her, not into her, right?
No. She fired at the guy who said negative Ghost Rider.
did anybody die? Should I feel bad? Did anybody die? Should I feel bad about this?
You're so impatient.
Tell me the rest of the story.
You'll find out the fate after the break. And we're back. According to the police report, the woman told the deputies that she went to her neighbor's house and refused to leave until he gave her a kiss. When the dude said no, she left. But not before arguing. When she left, she was angry. Shortly thereafter, a bullet went through the dude's window, spraying him with glass. He commented to the paper that this came out of, "I've taken out her trash. Just, you know, neighborly stuff. Cunnilingus." I guess she just took that as something else.
People work for a very long time to break in their catcher's mitts. Right.
Oh yeah.
You know. So who can blame them when they find a catcher's mitt that's already broken in and they just want to jam their face into it and just
all soft and
just all soft and
good.
Well traveled.
Oh man.
Damn it. No, let them have their guns. I mean, for God's sake, everything else has been taken away from them. Their youth, their intelligence, their memories, their looks, their knees, their eyes, their ears. I just give them away to enforce their worth as human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just give them mandate that they have guns.
They still have their mushy cold slush pot between their legs. So
we're gonna change that subject real quick. We're gonna rewind to that person, to that lady who was just trying to protect her dog, and maybe if she had a. a gun, she could have protected her dog, and so could this woman. Because, Chris, do you remember how last week we talked about, a man who was being attacked by a hawk?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to continue this week's Bird Alert! With a story about an eagle and a dog. We're bird dogging today, Chris. That's a thing. Look it up. Are you bird dogging me? I don't know. Now, a miniature toy poodle named Peanut barely escaped becoming eagle food in a harrowing attack. The bird swooped down and picked up the dog, attempting to fly away while pecking at the struggling dog and slashing with its talons. Said the owner, "The bird came swooping down right by the fire pit and picked up my little girl. I started throwing stuff out of the fireplace at it." Peanut is currently fighting an infection from her wounds, but is expected to survive. Chris, we need to show these birds who's boss. We need to show these birds that we're not going to take it anymore. I'm normally a pro bird, but these past 2 weeks have told me birds are not to be trusted. They're prejudiced.
They're awful.
I don't know.
All swooping and swirling.
I just don't trust them. I don't know.
You want to be a falconer.
I know, right? But that's because I need to get them under control. If I'm not out there being the last line of defense against the madness that birds would bring to this world if left unchecked, who am I? What am I contributing to this world besides an awesome podcast? There's the, you know, there's only so much we can do, Chris, but I feel like we should be doing so much more.
In the most hetero way, I'm dreaming up an outfit for your character.
The Falconer? Oh, in the book, The Falconer's Son?
Mm-mm.
No?
No.
What character?
The guy who protects the world from birds.
Okay.
I'm trying to figure it out. You would definitely have a shirt with a brightly colored breast.
Yeah, yeah. Puffy, or are we talking like streamlined?
Puffy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But very like real tight everywhere else. We're
like
talking
dead bloated chest and little chicken legs.
Yeah, where we're just like super tight, like Green Man. Green Man with a puffy chest and a beak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a chest, like a girdle.
Like a chest beak that opens up and shoots beams out like Iron Man.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that.
Yeah.
See, you're ahead of me.
I am. We're on the same track. Hey, Chris, I've got a question for you.
Uh-huh.
If the Lord asked to borrow your car, would you say yes?
Yeah.
You would?
Of course.
I mean, it's, you know, just like the Greeks. The Greeks would come down and test your hospitality. They would come to you and say, hey, can I crash here for a minute and have some of your wine and liniments? And, you know, they would say, go nuts. And, you know, just... which is the reason for Greek hospitality, because anybody could be a god masquerading. Well, a man in Westlake, Ohio, was faced with this very conundrum when a man ran in front of his car, demanding that he stop the car. The stranger forced his way into the vehicle, incoherent, and pushed down on the driver's leg, forcing him to drive into a development. The man insisted that he was the Lord and that he needed the car, then fled after the driver wouldn't cooperate. Now, 10 minutes later, Chris, police got a call from a woman who had a very similar experience. Quote, he claimed he was going to some kind of competition for Olympic wrestling this morning. Obviously, he didn't make it, said the police. The woman whose car was jacked said he kept saying he was the Lord, things like that. I don't think his mind was right. Really? You don't think so?
Are you sure?
Could he have been the Lord?
Seriously?
Is all I'm saying. Because like right now, the Lord is in a Cuyahoga County jail.
I thought he was a stranger on the bus.
Is crucifixion still a thing?
It could be.
You never know when the second coming might be here.
It's going to be at least 10 minutes after the first.
But are you familiar with Pascal's Wager?
Yeah, the kid I bet with at boot camp.
Giorgio Pascal, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Tristan. No, Pascal's Wager is what my one friend called the least convincing argument for God, which is that if there is no God and you don't believe in him, there's no problem because, you know, whatever, there's no God. If there is a God, if there is no God and you believe in him, doesn't matter because there's no God, so you're no better off. But if there is a God and you do believe in him, you're good. You know, it's like whatever. It still benefits you. And if there is a God and you don't believe in him, then there's a negative because you go to hell. Which is to say that even if there is no God, it's still good to believe in one because you know there's nothing bad that can happen from it. On a purely good level,
there's a shit ton of bad stuff that can happen.
I know. I'm just saying what Pascal said. This was back in like the Middle Ages.
You should have known. Good Lord. Oh my God. We're fighting like 8 wars right now. But I'll kind of hinge on which one and if or when or how. We're never going to get along with those people. I told you. God. But we might.
I don't know. I tend to believe the best of people and that things are going to work out the best.
We might if Elmo has anything to do with it.
Oh, what's this now?
What's the language that they speak in Pakistan?
Pakistani?
Urdu?
Is it?
Urdu.
Urdu?
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 Purdue. It's like Purdue without the p.
All right. Well, Urdu.
Okay.
Urdu. Well, in English, we can all kind of just agree that U.S. airstrikes, aid, diplomatic offensive have only achieved marginal success in winning Pakistani hearts and minds. So American officials are now deploying their secret backup weapons. Bert, Ernie, and the Cookie Monster. Funded by $20 million in grant money from the U.S. Agency for International Development, the American children's TV program Sesame Street is packing its bags and taking the 20-hour flight to Pakistan.
That is really funny.
Filming begins this summer, and the show is set to debut in the fall. It will feature furry Muppets speaking mostly Urdu instead of English. The Pakistani version of Sesame Street will feature new Muppets in a Pakistani village setting. The goal is to help the country's young people learn basic words and numbers, and possibly, aside from learning that, help them to reject violent extremism later in life.
Okay.
What?
You don't think that makes sense?
No.
Why not?
I don't know.
Today's show is brought to you by the letter D, which stands for drone. Watch out!
M is for mountain. C is for cave. Mountain cave. That's where you hide.
Yeah. I just
the show in Pakistan will run on the state television or PTV.
I gotcha.
And actually, they're going to be able to view it in the most remote villages with TV service. For those who can't view it, mobile TV vans will circulate the country, bringing Sesame Street to places without electricity.
Okay, that's actually really sinister.
Yeah, that's awful, right?
It's like we're going to crop dust you with Tickle Me Elmos. Yeah.
Well, let's see. We killed Dad with a bomb, and we shot your big brother. and somehow I don't really know why you seem to be pretty pissed at us. So here's a puppet, and he's gonna
he eats tons of cookies. Those are things that you don't have because that's kind of a cultural thing.
Yeah. You might think it's weird. He's got a really red mouth with a black tongue. that's odd, but he's going to teach you stuff.
Yeah, about love and care. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, this isn't anything new. I mean, our biggest export for the past 50 years or so has been culture, right?
Oh, of course. And see, this Sesame Street attack on Pakistan is all-encompassing. And the reason that I say that is because it is said that the program will also have strong female characters with a subtle aim at promoting tolerance and gender equality. It should be noted that the U.S. Agency for International Development says that they're not slated to touch on any political themes directly.
Okay.
Well, by nature, brainwashing doesn't directly.
I mean, okay, I'm going to ask you a question. This is going to be serious. This is the serious cast, Chris. Do you disagree that the things that they're trying to, like, accomplish are wrong? Just kind of like, hey, maybe, like, mellow out and don't continue the circle of violence by having your kids fight an old man's war. Do you agree that maybe it's, you know, maybe we should, you know, cool it with the honor killings and, like, let chicks kind of be because, you know, they're awesome?
I think that shit that they're trying to do now should be like the spoils of victory.
Okay.
You have to win the shit and then you can make the rules. But until you win, you can't do this stuff.
I don't know. I mean, but just okay. In general, if there wasn't a conflict, but there are people who are doing these things, if there was extremism, like, just do you think that the end goal of making them mellow out and treat their chicks better, just like they should because they're awesome, they have rockin' cans, do you think that that's wrong?
In this situation that we're talking about,
yeah,
we're considering Pakistanis people.
I just know, Chris, what I'm trying to say is I personally think those are good. That's horrible. I personally think these are good things, but they couldn't have picked a more sinister way to do it. I don't think. Like, can't we just, like, send them Seinfeld and just say, hey, this is what America and the West can do for you? And then there you go.
That's all I have to say.
Chris, can we play a game?
Okay.
This is going to be a game of Spot the Fake, which has been our usual game. I thoroughly trounced you last week. So, yeah. You know, now it's my turn to beat you.
Which, if our numbers this last week were down.
Yeah.
It's because I sent out a massive message, don't listen to last week's episode.
Oh, gosh. We were down a little bit.
Yeah. But
whatever. Okay, that probably...
And I didn't really want anybody to know...
To know that
you did that.
Well, I'm not going to edit that out. Okay, so today's game is Spot the Fake Mental Disorder. Okay.
All right.
Now, we've established that I have a phobia of the apocalypse, or a fixation on it. Now, that is, you know, kind of rolled into thanatophobia, which is a fear of death. Well, I'm going to give you sets of three, you know, mental disorders, delusions, syndromes, etc. And I need you to tell me which one is fake based on the description.
So, same rules apply.
All right, so here's the first set. Cotard delusion. Named for the neurologist who discovered it, Jules Cotard. The sufferer thinks that they are dead, do not exist, or are wandering husks who have lost all their blood and internal organs. Occasionally, the reverse is true, and they believe they are immortal. Number two, Sonatas aphasia. Named for the 18th century musician who suffered from this in his later years. The sufferer cannot tell one song from another. And finally, number three, Stendhal syndrome. Named for a 19th century French author, sufferers of this disorder experience rapid heartbeat, dizziness, confusion, and hallucinations when experiencing large amounts of art or beauty.
All right, the last one is real.
Okay.
And...
based on?
Just general feeling.
Okay.
And the first one, I think I might have that, which kind of, but ends in tard.
What?
But it ends in tard.
Okay.
So maybe, but you're not even like that kind of person. You don't think that saying the word retard is funny.
No, I hate it.
But Stendhal seems like, I don't know. That's the third one. The middle one?
Sonata's aphasia?
Yeah.
Sonata's aphasia is fake.
All right.
Damn it. What was your thought? Just elimination?
What?
Just elimination?
Yeah.
Cotard delusion, actually, if you've
deduction
ever...
by deduction.
Yeah. There we go. Hey, you know, you're learning from me. That's good. No, mm-hmm. Cotard delusion, that was actually something that was featured in Synecdoche, New York. The main character's name was Caden Cotard, and he suffered from it. Okay, so now we're going to move on to number two. It's one you, me, ought. Here we go. Paris syndrome. This disorder is exclusive to Japanese tourists visiting Paris and can be described as a severe form of culture shock experienced when their romanticized notions of Paris clash with the realities of the actual city. Polite Japanese tourists are so disappointed that they freeze up and experience full mental breakdown. Number two, Jerusalem syndrome. Travelers of various faiths who visit the holy city of Jerusalem have been found to experience religious-themed obsessive ideas and other psychosis-like symptoms. The illness lasts for weeks after leaving the city. And finally, number three, Hong Kong syndrome. Exclusive to residents of Hong Kong and the Kowloon region of China, when presented with wide-open, non-crowded spaces, a very small percentage of the population is reduced to infantile dependency, unable to function without guidance from a trusted individual.
Oh, man.
It's tough, right?
Dude, this is like the hardest question you've ever asked. Number one, which was Paris syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say is real.
All right.
Leaving Hong Kong and Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Hong Kong, Jerusalem, Hong Kong. I'm going to say Hong Kong only because Jerusalem has changed hands so many times and so many cultures are like there that Hong Kong has to be fake.
Damn it. You got me. You got me. Number two, Jerusalem syndrome is real, which means that Hong Kong syndrome is fake.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it.
So that's 2-0 me.
So like there was nothing that I did wrong with any of these. Okay.
No, they're all spot on.
Okay.
See, and so it's 2-0 me. And now this is make or break.
This is make or break. And these ones are short.
Cause this is a tie right here.
Okay.
With my previous good score.
All right. Number one, Deckard delusion. Sufferers of this disorder are convinced that their consciousness has been removed from their physical body and has been placed into a robot body that is identical to their own. Number two, Capgras delusion. Sufferers of this disorder believe that their loved ones have been replaced with identical-looking imposters. And number three, Fregoli delusion. Sufferers of this disorder believe that different people are in fact a single person who changes appearances or disguise very quickly.
In this case, I'm going to go with the coolest one has to be fake. What's the coolest one, Cole?
You're not going to trick me into doing this, Chris, because you didn't give me an answer. That's subjective. The coolest one, the one that you think is coolest is, it might be.
I'm pretty sure we have the same opinion on this. Robot people.
Oh, man. I'm glad that you don't, that you are not as, you know, up on like sci-fi and film noir as me, because you would have known right away because I named it Deckard delusion, and Deckard was the main character of Blade Runner, a movie that's all about robot replicants.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Deckard delusion is fake. And I, man, have I lost it?
No, you haven't. It's just syndromes are really easy to Google.
Son of a bitch. That's not kosher, man.
3-0.
I guess we never said anything about that not being in the spirit of things, did we?
The spirit of things is for me to whoop your ass.
Did you Google all of those?
Yeah, every one of them.
God damn it.
All 9 of them.
Like new rules. That's not that shit ain't allowed anymore.
All right. We never said so.
Okay. Yeah. No. You get a pass this time. But Jesus, Chris.
It is easier to ask for forgiveness than permission.
Chris, earlier we were talking about how how people could be valued. Okay.
Uh huh.
Now I think that some people at a college out in New Jersey have actually found a really, really good way to value people, which is by consensus, right? You know, in a free market, we establish value by shared knowledge. Okay? Now, here's what's happening. Drew College in New Jersey is having trouble with a website called College ACB, a place for students to anonymously rank named students based on their appearance and weight, discuss their promiscuity, and reveal any STDs that they may or may not be carrying. Now, the college says that they can't do much about it since it's not in any way affiliated with them. Still, they are petitioning the attorney general from the state. One student was so ridiculed for her weight that she attempted to transfer from the school. Said one student, "Who's ugliest? Who's biggest? Who's the stupidest?" And it's just a waste of time. You know what, Chris? That's the word. Those are the words of an unpopular, stupid, fat person.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah. Like, why do you care? Like, why you only care if people have bad things to say about you. So maybe maybe lose some weight and read a goddamn book for once in your life.
Yeah, maybe you should develop a good personality and that way people will feel bad about doing this to you.
Like maybe like you have two directions to go. You can either be so much cooler than you are right now and like just avoid it entirely. Or you could go the back way. You know, you could find the back door to this and you could, I don't know, be so pitiful that people just feel awful for it. Have you considered losing a couple limbs? Because nobody wants to make fun of Peg Leg Girl.
Probably not. I would.
You know what? Billy has two glass eyes, and that's okay with me. I don't care if he stutters, because he's an American hero.
Billy has one extra leg, and that makes three.
And that is the truth.
Yep.
But
what are other one-syllable words for animals?
What?
Never mind.
I don't.
There's only one person that I know who listens to this who will get that. That was as good as saying somebody's name and shouting props.
Okay. All right. I'll allow it. But why don't they get on with it and just put a dollar value on this person? It's like Facebook, but you know, for taking people down a peg.
There's a peg, and then there's the one below it, and that's yours.
Your peg is always the one below where you're at.
Yeah, that is where it is. That is where that exists.
What was the wife's name on Married with Children?
Peg.
Yeah, go one lower.
In the spirit of governments releasing information, Britain's MI5. Spy agency has released formerly classified World War II documents. One of these documents describes a Nazi submarine mission. Always wanted to ride a sub to the United States that ended after being hit by a series of disasters. The Germans planned to bomb roads, railways, and factories. Even before it got underway, the plot got stupid. One of the saboteurs, Herbert Haupt, got drunk in a Paris bar after a farewell dinner and declared to his drinking companions that, "Hey man, I'm a spy." When the sub arrived in the U.S., it ran aground on a sandbar as it dropped off the four agents on the coast of Long Island, New York. U.S. Coast Guard guy discovered the Germans as they buried their supplies on the beach. He was given 3 hundo and persuaded to leave them alone. In a report on the mission, Victor Rothschild, head of MI5's counter-espionage division at the time, back in World War II, wrote, "It was only owing to the laziness and stupidity of the American Coast Guards that this submarine was not attacked by U.S. forces." Uppity fucking British.
Well,
always being right.
What else can you call that?
Yeah. Ultimately, the plot was foiled when the leader of the spies rang up, and this is written from a British newspaper, so he called, rang up the FBI and announced that he was a saboteur and demanded to speak to the Bureau's then director, Edgar Hoover. After a lengthy interview, he was arrested and his fellow agents were rounded up.
They turned themselves in?
Yeah, the dude calls and says, "Hey, I'm here. Shit's going to get wild. let me talk to the big man."
You know that like J. Edgar Hoover was a cross-dresser, right?
He was a cross-reference?
Yeah.
No, he was a cross-dresser, sure. All the good ones were.
Okay. Yeah. I want to drop that. It was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How do you get into the mind of a 19-year-old German butt whore if you are one?
I was about ready to say, like, why do we call the people who fought in World War II heroes if that's what they were up against? Because, like, as far as I can tell, these four agents were the Marx Brothers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was like
they were.
Yeah. We might as well have been fighting against this, like a class of preschoolers. But then, no, we took a bribe and we were stupid.
The British are crazy.
How so?
I don't know. They just are.
Are they crazier than us?
Mm, let me tell you a story, and then you can tell me.
Okay, and I'll tell you a story, and we can tell who's crazier.
Australians are basically British people, right?
Australians are basically Southerners, like Southern Americans with British-esque accents.
So they're redneck Native Americans.
So they're redneck Brits.
But where they came from?
Yeah, they were like by lineage. Of,
yeah, there you go. Yeah. All right. Well, an Australian pig known as Boris has been given a facelift. The 550-pound family pet had brow-lifting surgery to restore his vision. The three-year-old pig, a local icon that could be seen trotting around the community park, had a deformity causing his brow to cover his eyes. His owner said that just shedding a bit of excess pork didn't help because more loose skin covers his face.
Aw. What's wrong with that? Let the pig see.
They're crazier than us.
How? Because
we don't get plastic surgery to our pets. We'll make Chris, bigger or smaller any part on us we want.
Chris, can I have my taint enlarged? I want a 10-yard taint. I can make any part as big as I want, right?
Isn't that an Irish punk rock band?
10-yard taint. No, I think that we're a bit crazier because our... Like, none of us have mascots. This is obviously like the town's spirit animal, right?
Sure.
Like, and the mascot thing, like we may have at one time, but we lost that, and we should probably get back to it. Chris, can I tell you a story about the cow of Cincinnati?
Yeah.
Okay. We're running out of time, so we're gonna have to make it as quick as possible. But there was a cow who escaped from a slaughterhouse. It's like it was on the line, you know, then it kind of like jumped over the fence and off it went into the city. Because on the west end, there used to be a bunch of cattle processing plants. And so it hit out, I think it was in Washington Park or something like that, but a relatively small park, you know, compared to the size of a cow. And like it eluded capture. And like when it was finally brought into custody, a local businessman said, "Hey, listen, you're not going to fucking kill that cow. Because that is like the heart of Cincinnati, even though we're the pig city, you know that cow is us." So they you know just like he bought the cow and said, "Okay, we're gonna give him a good home." And so this was like back in like 1995. They tried to put him in the Reds opening day parade, and before they could even get going, they had this cow in a cage at the back, you know, like the very last that people would stick around, and the cow just started like flipping out. Which is funny because we spent all this time rescuing this cow from captivity and death only to coop him up and make him go crazy. Then they had to like take him out to a farm and you know he lived out the rest of his days. But that seems like a much more sane thing. And just if it's one person's pet, yeah, the plastic surgery maybe is a bit excessive. But Chris, that pig was probably the heart and soul of that town.
He probably was.
Yeah. Have I convinced you?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool.
Well, once again, I didn't really feel that passionate enough.
Chris, if there's anything this show has taught me, at least going back and listening to it, there are lots of topics that I initially thought I didn't care about that I actually, through pretending to care about them, can actually form like a really strong opinion about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's funny, right?
Yeah.
How about this one?
Kind of is.
How about this one? Since we're talking about crazy people and animals that may or may not be innocent, et cetera, things that we do to them. Except mm-hmm. This one adds in a unique aspect, which is the police and our country's relationship to them. Now, a Texas policeman is the center of some controversy after the release of a cell phone video showing him spraying mace on a tiny baby squirrel. In front of several middle school students. The officer claims he was protecting the students from the squirrel, who he claims to have thought was rabbit. The squirrel can be seen writhing around on the ground in tiny little squirrel pain while the kids scream in horror. The middle school girl, God bless the fact that all of our kids have camera phones, who was taking the video, identified the officer by name. So it was funny. Like, this is Officer Julian Whiteman. It was just funny. The story has a happy ending, though, because the squirrel was taken in by animal control and released into the wild. Chris, we had to tase that baby because he was coming at us full speed.
Mm-hmm.
He had murder in his eyes. He had murder in his dead little baby eyes.
He was ready to go. The police are so smart.
They are. They have our best interest in mind at all times.
Criminals, whether they be squirrels or people, really don't stand a chance.
They don't. I just, you know.
They just don't think ahead.
Who, the cops or the criminals? I don't.
The criminals.
Okay, good.
And that doesn't change whether it's here in America or around the world.
Yeah.
Remember when I said that I was just waiting for the perfect heist?
Yeah. I mean, we've spoken about this.
I just wanted to be part of it.
Yeah.
In some way.
What part of the heist are you again? I just want to ask you.
What?
What part of the heist are you again?
Pink.
Okay. No, I just, because... You know he didn't live, right?
Yep.
Okay. No, because I'm the guy who's in the van on the laptop, like unlocking doors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's me. Okay, continue.
And I read this article and it outlines a heist and I read it and I was enthralled.
Okay.
A Swedish bank robber and his accomplice snuck into a bank vault on a Friday night. They remained there until the bank opened again the following Monday. The robbers emptied 140 safety deposit boxes and at least $500,000 in cash and jewelry.
Oh.
Awesome, right?
Yeah, that's I'm liking this, but I sense a catch.
They forgot to cover their tracks.
In what regard?
They left behind 3 bottles of urine that they had filled during their 3 days spent in the Copenhagen bank. The police were able to get DNA samples from the bottles. The evidence helped prosecutors win a 21-month prison sentence for one of the men. His accomplice is still at large. And the loot? It hasn't been recovered.
All right, fellas, you see, we're gonna sneak in cardboard boxes with a UPS shipment. You see, when they check us, we're gonna be inside the vault. We're gonna put this silly putty like plastic explosive on the outside. We're gonna pop it. It's gonna be an EMT. We're gonna pop the safe. We're gonna come out, and we're just gonna go to town. See, they're gone for the weekend. See, now before we make off with the loot, you know, and we go off to Aruba or whichever place we do, we're gonna leave behind our IDs. We're gonna leave behind a pint of blood, urine, semen, stool. I'm sorry, I'm describing my usual Friday night blood, urine, semen, stool. But
was it really blood, Cole? Really? Was it blood?
What do you mean?
Are you sure it was blood, or did it just smell like blood?
Are you telling me that it was oil?
No.
Do I have Decker delusion, Chris? Don't fucking tell me I have Decker delusion. Don't tell me I have Decker delusion.
It's just that recently an Italian company has launched a line of blood-scented fragrances featuring unisex sex perfumes labeled with the name A, B, AB, and O. Sold in 40 milliliter bottles with a dropper. All have a metallic 9-volt battery whiff. The creator says that blood is the most tested and studied part of the human body, and it guards a multitude of secrets that reveals our inner and unique way of being. Blood Concept, the line of perfumes, is a private celebration of vivid and fascinating liquid that flows in our veins.
See, I thought of a tagline, but then I realized I already used this for a song name. Smell like mm-hmm. a crime scene.
Yeah. I was kind of partial to Vampires Mount Up.
Vampires roll. All right,
what are we going to say?
I'm going to say go to the website and download all of our shows multiple times. If you want to, you can actually delete the episodes out of your iTunes library or whatever, and then download it again, which I think is really, it's a great thing to do. The funny thing is they're actually better the second time you download them. Every time you download them, they get, you know, it's just a little bit better. So
does that count toward our count?
I don't really like what you're implying there, Chris.
Cheating?
No. That just, it's just bizarre. I'm not even going to acknowledge that with a response. But what else they can do, they can check out our YouTube channel. I've actually kept my promise and put up a video every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and we'll continue to do so for the next, you know, however long we continue to do this. There's been some good stuff. The viewership has kind of dropped off, so please check that out whenever you can. What else can they do, Chris?
Give money.
Yeah, they can go to thosedamnrouskids.com. They can go to thosedamnrouskids.com and hit the donate button, and there'll be a nice little website explaining what we do with the money, etc. Thinking about buying some advertising, who knows, get some more people into the fold. So that way you'll have more people to talk about Those Damn Ross Kids with.
Very true.
Yeah, because we're a community.
It'll help pay for your treatment as well.
What treatment is that?
Your throat flap is going bad.
What throat flap?
Your throat flap?
Mine?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean?
That thing that keeps you from belching.
I'm sorry.
All the time throughout the entire episode.
Sorry. God. What
did you do? Did you like drink a gallon of Red Pop and eat some kielbasa?
You'll notice that I speak twice. That way I edit out the first one where I belch. But see, when you mention this, God.
Does that sound good or what?
That sounds awful. I've never wanted to throw up more in my life. Good night.
I'm still here.
Are you?
No, you're not. I'm still here.
Oh.
Okay. Hey, Cole.
Yeah?
No, I'm still here. You're not.
Stop it. I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
So awesome we can't see each other.
I don't understand.
What?
I don't understand.
I was going to talk to the viewers, but you just won't go away.
Okay. Chris, can you do me a favor and say that I'm not here anymore?
Yeah. Cole's not here. But I am. And I'm here to tell you. How are my levels? Test passed. Good night.
I don't understand at all.
Listen to it again.